Thanks, Mary, very much. Well, I want to begin this morning with a question for Steve and for Nikki. And to answer this question, you're going to have to take yourself back, okay, to that moment in hospital when you sat there with a newborn Hugo or a newborn Miller or a newborn Landy in your arms. And it is a truly amazing moment, isn't it? Looking down at that little life in your arms. And the question for you is there on the screen. Take yourself back there. How did you feel? How did you feel holding on to that new bundle of life? Well, if you're anything like us, I imagine there's a whole range of different emotions. Joy, certainly. Wonderful joy. Relief, maybe, just to be through it, for labour to be over and to be safely through the other side with being healthy and well. Wonder, certainly, as you look down at this little life in your hands, you just go, wow. Wow, new life is a quite incredible thing. Or fear, maybe. Fear of the unknown the first time, or fear of the known, those sleepless nights, those early mornings, and everything else that comes with parenting. But above all else, I think, thankfulness. Thankfulness for the new life that you cradle in your arms. You see, when you're given a gift like that, like those three boys, there is something deep down in your heart that just wants to shout out, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And it's why we're here this morning. It's why Steve and Nikki want a Thanksgiving service. They want to say thank you to God for the gift of life. And do you know what? You're in good company. Because in Psalm 139, which we've just heard some of it read to us now, King David, who wrote that psalm, also wants to say thank you, thank you, thank you to God. And he says thank you for three things. Firstly, he says thank you, God, for making me. Have a look again at the words on the screen. This is what David says. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together. Put me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Or as it says in the Message translation, which is a youthy version of the Bible, oh yes. Oh yes, you shaped me first, inside then out. You formed me in my mother's wombs. I thank you, high God, you're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. Now, with that verse in mind, I want to, Hugo, do you want to come and join me at the front? Come and stand at the front with me, mate. With that verse in mind, I'm going to use Hugo this morning. You have to be visible to everyone, mate. I want to use Hugo this morning as an example of a fearfully, wonderfully, marvelously made human being, okay? And here's what's going to happen. You're going to see on the screen, hopefully it's not flicking on, you're going to see on the screen five statements about the wonder of the human body. And you've got a minute to chat in families or wherever you sat, and you need to put the answer or the rough answer to these statements in order from the smallest to the biggest. So how many bones has Hugo got on his body that Keenan stood upright this morning? How many hairs on his decent mop of blonde hair, approximately? How many miles of blood vessels? If you had to put all the veins together and stretch them out, how many miles would they go? How many muscles? Hugo, give us a strongman pose. Yeah, there we go. How many muscles is Hugo flexing in his body? And lastly, how many times will Hugo's heart beat in the next week? You've got 1 minute to chat where you are. You don't need exact answers. You just need to put them in order from smallest all the way up to the biggest. Off you go. Chat, chat, chat. Right, okay, let's bring it back together. What do we reckon? Anyone want to be brave? What's the smallest? Smallest number, what are we going for? Bones in the body. Let's have a look. Bones in the body, correct. 206 bones in an adult body. There we go. What's coming in next after bones? What do you reckon? Muscles. You're quite good at this. Muscles, 650. Okay. Now it gets a bit tricky. What do we reckon is coming in next? There's a big jump to our next one. Blood vessels. Apparently, if you stretch out the blood vessels, they will go three times around the globe. That's 75,000 miles of blood vessels in the human body. Coming in number four, what do we reckon? It is hair on your head for most of us, I think. Some slightly fewer this morning, but Hugo definitely. 100,000 hairs plus, I reckon, on that head, which means heartbeats coming in. What do you reckon for heartbeats? Lots. Nearly 700,000. So if you were to come back here this time next week, your heart will beat, getting on for a million times to keep you alive in the next 7 days. That's all going on there in this wonderfully, fearfully, marvellously made human body. Thanks. You can grab a seat, Hugo. Good lad. Very good. It's a stunning thing, isn't it? When you stop to think about the wonder of just the human body, it is quite a remarkable thing. And that's why David says what he says. Look, verse 14, I thank you, because he knows God made it. You are breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I wonder this morning whether your heart is saying the same thing. Are you going, thank you, God, for my life and this incredible body? Firstly, thank you, God, for knowing me. Secondly, David says, thank you, God, for knowing me. Firstly, thank you, God, for making me. Secondly, thank you, God, for knowing me. Have a look at what comes next on the screen. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. You see, nothing is hidden from God. God knows everything, and he knows everything about you because he made you. Have a look again on the screen. We see the same thing actually at the beginning of this psalm. You search me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit, you know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. I know someone who had verse 2 up on the inside of their bathroom door, which was a little bit disorientating. When you sat down to go to the toilet, you were confronted with verse 2. You know when I sit and when I rise. But actually, it's a really helpful reminder that there's nowhere we can go where God is not. You cannot just shut the door on God and keep God out and think this is just me time. God knows everything and God sees everything, which is incredibly humbling, isn't it? Nearly 8 billion people in this world, and God knows you. He knows me. He knows my fingerprint and what makes it different to yours. He knows my deepest dreams. He knows my worst fears. He knows what's going through your head right now. God knows everything about us. As it says in verse 3, he is familiar with all my ways. Which is actually a little bit alarming, isn't it? Because it means that God knows all the bad stuff as well as the good stuff. He knows all those things that we thought maybe about other people, we haven't said, but they've gone through our minds. God knows it. All those things that have happened behind the closed door of your home when you think no one's watching, God sees and knows. Yet, as we sung in that last song, you know the depths of my heart and you love me the same. That's what's so remarkable, isn't it, about the Christian faith? That God knows everything about you and me, even the worst stuff, and he loves me the same. So much so, in fact, that he was willing to send his one and only son into this world to take away all of our failings. We sung it, didn't we, in that opening song? When I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. But on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God to thee, how great thou art. Thank you, God. Firstly, David says, thank you, God, for making me. Secondly, David says, thank you, God, for knowing me and still loving me with all my failures. And lastly, David says, thank you, God, for watching over me. Have a look for the last time at the words on the screen. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I go down to the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. You see, God doesn't just look out like a nosy neighbor, peeking through the curtains of heaven, looking down on this world. No, he watches over us like a loving parent, with tender care, ready to reach down and to pick your child up and scoot them up off the floor when they need your help. And you see, if we trust in Jesus Christ this morning, you can be sure that God is watching over you in that way, watching over your life and working for your good, which is a wonderful comfort, isn't it? To know that the God who made all things, who threw the stars into space, is on your side and he is watching over you. And so as we draw to a close, if the band want to come and join me again at the front, but here's my prayer, and I'd love you to make this prayer as well, your prayer this morning as we finish. And my prayer is this, for Miller, for Landy and for Hugo, that one day they can join David in saying, thank you, God, for making me. Thank you, God, for knowing me and still loving me with all my failures. And thank you, God, for watching over me like a loving parent ready to step in and to sort out. And it's the same prayer for us all this morning. We're going to stand and we're going to sing together our last song. We've got a great God, which means we've got a great hope to sing about. So do stand. This is our closing song this morning.